Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. It is a fun day today because it is not every day we get to talk about a trade, much less a quarterback trade. But here we are. The Packers make a trade for a quarterback, Malik Willis from the Tennessee Titans. And I think this is a really fun topic because you have this young quarterback. Can he be the backup right away? What does he bring to the table? He has a lot of upside. There's still a lot of things that he needs to work on. How does this affect the quarterback room with Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt? We had some interesting reports from both Bill Huber and Rob Domofsky that I want to get to. How does this affect the rest of the 53-man roster projection? All of this is really, really fun. But of course, the crux of this is going to be about Malik Willis and what he can bring to the Green Bay Packers. Now, before we get there, if you have yet to check out the Autograph app, make sure to do so. In fact, my very first breaking news piece, my first take on Malik Willis was over on Autograph. Exclusive content. You get all the Packers podcasts that are out there, including the Pack-A-Day podcast and everything that you need. Articles, like I said, podcasts, exclusive content. It is all there in one perfect spot. So download the Autograph app today. You can use the referral code Pack-A-Day to get in, but it is worth your time to download because you are going to get all of your Packers news in one spot, and it is absolutely perfect. And like I said, a little bit of exclusive content from myself as well. So hopefully that will be worth the price of admission, which is, by the way, free. All right, let's talk about Malik Willis because this is a very interesting transaction for the Green Bay Packers. Let's get through the logistics of it first. The Packers traded a seventh round pick in 2025 for Malik Willis. This is not a conditional seventh round pick. This is a pure 2025 seventh rounder that will go to Tennessee for the services of Malik Willis. Now, from a contract standpoint, the Packers inherit a very nice contract. There is no guaranteed money whatsoever left on his deal. So if they want to walk at any time, they get a 3 to 4 week experience with Malik Willis and feel like, hey, not for us, they can move away from it. No problem whatsoever. And if they get to next year and maybe he's the backup this year, but next year doesn't look good in camp and they want to move on, they can get out of that contract. No concern whatsoever. So that is a very nice contract. And it is only $1.17 million this year and $1.64 million next year. So we are talking about a very cost-effective, non-guaranteed contract that Green Bay will be taking on. And in order to get that contract and the former third-round pick, Green Bay only had to give up a seventh rounder. Now, he was expendable in Tennessee because he was set to be the number three quarterback. Will Levis is going to be the starter. Mason Rudolph won the backup position. And if you're wondering, why did the Packers want a quarterback that couldn't beat out Mason Rudolph as the backup? It is a fair question to ask. We will talk about some of that when we get to our breakdown. But like I said, Green Bay does get a very friendly backup quarterback contract and somebody who does have a little bit of starting experience and was thought of highly as a third round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Meanwhile, he is still only 25 years old. He turned 25 in May. So this is not some Taylor Heinicke or some veteran quarterback that's well into their 30s. This is still a young quarterback with a lot of upside, which we will go over quite a bit in just a moment. As I mentioned, he was a former third round pick in the 2022 NFL draft, 6'1", 219, although it might be a little bit closer to 6'2", 219. Was a quarterback out of Liberty when he came out of college. And I want to kind of go over his scouting report because I think it is very interesting. And I always apologize for this because I am just reading this, but it's a really interesting scouting report from Malik Willis. This is from Dane Brugler, excuse me. Dane's the best when it comes to this stuff. And I think it's really interesting to look back. He was Dane's second quarterback in this draft. Now, this was not a good QB draft, if you remember. Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Sam Howell, Carson Strong, Bailey Zappe, Jack Cohn. And then it goes on. And then number 13 on the list was Brock Purdy. Remember, he went at the very end of the seventh round. This was basically what will be considered the Brock Purdy quarterback draft, even though he was taken at the very end of the draft. The rest have not exactly turned out all that well. But Scouting report, I'm Malik Willis. Strengths, loose athlete and moves with bounce in his steps. Natural play extender because of his dynamic speed and movement skills. Despite slight load-up action, the football explodes out of his hand, generates outstanding zip-on throws to the far hash or sideline. His best throws on tape were vertical touch passes down the seam or the sideline, something that showed up in the preseason tape that I just watched of his. Throws a confident ball and not afraid to deliver before receivers come out of their break. Average height but compactly build and runs through arm tackles without getting knocked off of his path. Impressive body strength in the pocket, elusive athleticism to make defenders miss on designed runs and when pressured, lowered his fumbles from 17 as a junior to only 3 as a senior, routinely played through injuries and developed his pain tolerance. Coaches describe him as coachable and observant and the type of competitor willing to do whatever is asked of him to get better. Posted a 17-6 record, 2-3 record versus Power 5 opponents, which is really good when you're at a school like Liberty. In his 23 starts, set several passing and rushing records at Liberty, including the single season record for total touchdowns with 40 and the single game record for total touchdowns with 7. His weaknesses, field vision and decision-making are still in the developmental phase. Becomes gun-shy as a passer at times and will miss opportunities when he second-guesses what he sees. Ball placement needs to improve to make things easier on his receivers and help create yards after catch opportunities. Stares down targets and played in an offense that relied on pre-snap decisions. Footwork is raw and leads to him throwing from an unbalanced base. Spotty pocket presence and tends to drift into pressure. Late to locate where the heat is coming from. Ability to create can be a double-edged sword, and he must learn when to cut his losses to avoid the negative plays. Will take unnecessary hits. That's something that also showed up, although more on his 2022 tape and the very limited amount that he played. It will take unnecessary hits and long-term durability could become a concern. Missed one game and wore a protective brace the rest of the season after dislocating his left elbow in September of 2020. The summary, a two-year starter at Liberty, Willis was the ignition switch in head coach Hugh Freeze's defined passing game in red zone and in zone read scheme. Despite a mediocre supporting cast, the Auburn transfer set several school records at Liberty and led the program to numerous firsts, including the first top 25 ranking and win over an ACC opponent. He is also attempting to be the first Liberty first-round pick, which obviously did not happen since 1990. Although his timing and accuracy go through lulls, Willis had a fluid release, outstanding velocity and great feel for touch and placement on vertical based patterns. With his escapability and body strength, the backfield was his playground, but he struggles to recognize pressures and takes too many sacks. More on that in just a moment. He was equally responsible for finishing number one in the FBS with 51 sacks in 2021. Overall, Willis needs time to mature his anticipation, vision, and placement, but he has the potential to be a dynamic NFL playmaker because of his natural athleticism, arm talent, and intangibles. He will likely need a redshirt year before seriously competing for an NFL starting role. So that was the breakdown of Malik Willis coming out of college. Now the question, after a couple years in the NFL, where he got a few starts as a rookie, didn't get anything really a season ago. I think he played 22 snaps, I think it was this past year. Yeah, 22 snaps. Is he ready to be a full-time backup? Dane talked about being a redshirt season before he could become a starter. The question after 2 years is, can he actually be a legitimately good NFL backup? Green Bay doesn't need a starter. We know that. But they do need a good quality backup. The answer to this is going to be complicated because I don't think we're going to know. And hopefully we never find out, but it's going to be really difficult because he's going to be learning a new offense. And that's one of the really tricky aspects of this is, will he be the number two quarterback in Green Bay? I think the odds are yes. I'll just get the Bill Huber report out of this right away. He reports per his article over on Sports Illustrated that it is expected the Packers will release Sean Clifford. So that's the news that he is hearing. Sean Clifford will be released. Whether he comes back to the practice squad or not, that remains to be seen. But per Bill Huber, Sean Clifford will be released. They were, or at least per his reporting, a little bit less sure of what will happen with Michael Pratt. But regardless, you know, it seems like this would be a move to make him the backup quarterback in Green Bay. And it would be extremely unlikely, I think, that Green Bay would make another QB move. Could they theoretically make a trade for Taylor Heinicke and have like Heinicke be the two and then Malik Willis be the developmental three? Sure. Do I see that happening? I don't. I think when you trade any sort of draft compensation for a quarterback at cutdown time, you're making some sort of investment that they are probably the backup QB. And I think just, again, some experience in the league, former third round pick, talent is there. I think they probably develop him. And we'll kind of go over what that discussion and decision looks like a little bit more towards the end, but he's likely to be the backup QB. But the bigger question then is, can he be the backup quarterback in week one? What's going on, everybody? We are inching closer and closer to pigskin season, and you can almost smell the return of football in the air. And I'm sure many of you, like me, are already getting set to put in your Survivor League picks, fantasy football lineups, first week pick'em pools, and of course, your prize pick selections. And to kick off football season, one Caleb Williams passing yard will get you one win on prize picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free wins. Don't miss this deal on prize picks because it's gone when September ends. And while you're making your selections, don't forget about flex play. Prize picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. Now, obviously, I will be going with Caleb Williams to start the season, but rest assured, I'll also be grabbing Josh Jacobs week one as well. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. I think the answer is probably yes. I mean, we've seen what? Wasn't Josh Dobbs acquired from Arizona last year and then like immediately got in the game and started playing right away? In fact, I think that was like his best game of the year last year for Minnesota. You can figure out ways to make that work. I don't think that that's like a complete deal breaker here. And that's why my expectation is that Malik Willis will be the backup quarterback for the Packers. Whether or not they keep three, we'll talk about, but I don't think there's going to be more competition. I don't think Michael Pratt's going to beat him out right now. Sean Clifford, we already heard, per Bill Huber, is going to get released. So everything is pointing in the direction that Willis will, in fact, be the backup QB. But he is now coming onto a team that he does not have familiarity with the offense. That's going to be a pretty big change for Malik Willis. And whether or not he can come in, pick up the system quickly, become a solid backup right away, and be ready to go in should an injury happen to Jordan Love, like I said, that is going to be a big TBD. And like I said, more importantly, hopefully we never really have to find out. Now let's go back and rewind a little bit to what Malik Willis did in his rookie year, his second year, and then in preseason this year, which I did go back and watch his preseason tape from this year. And I did watch his 22 snaps from last year as well. And there are some interesting takeaways. Now in 3 starts as a rookie, Willis went 1-2, threw no touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And if you want to go back and look at that one win, it was not a pretty game for Malik Willis. However, Derrick Henry ran for over 200 yards. They ran over 300 yards just with the running backs alone in that game. And they just basically won on the ground game and on defense. It wasn't Malik Willis going out there and winning the game for them. So no touchdowns, 3 picks as a rookie, and only played 22 snaps in year 2. In his career, you want to talk about one of the big potential drawbacks of Malik Willis. He had 91 dropback attempts as a passer. So he dropped back to pass 91 times. He was pressured on 44 of those 91 attempts. And he had 14 sacks. He took 14 sacks on 91 dropbacks. 14 sacks on 91 dropbacks. That is an insane number. Now, not all of that is on Malik Willis, but a decent chunk of it is. As Dane put in his scouting report, he was equally responsible for the sacks that he took in college. I would say he was more than equally responsible for the sacks that he took in Tennessee. And his average time to throw, 3.53 seconds, which is very much on the high side. So he is not getting rid of the ball on time. He is holding onto it too long, and he is taking sacks and hits that he should not have to take. So now he's only had 91 career dropbacks. That is not a huge sample size, and he is still a developmental quarterback. And as a rookie, he was never really expected to get out on the field. He was never going to be ready as a rookie. In Green Bay, where they gave Jordan Love the ability to sit and watch and not have to go out there right away, Malik Willis was not given that same luxury, but he did have basically year 2 to kind of have that redshirt year. He didn't play a ton in year 1, But now it's going to be, can he be this backup in Green Bay in year three? Now in 2024, in the preseason, he improved on a lot of these numbers quite a bit. Now, a lot of this was against backups and third stringers, but he was also working with a lot of backups and third stringers. His preseason 2024 stats, just again from these last three games, 20 of 27 passing, 205 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. The one pick was a pretty darn good layered throw to his tight end. The linebacker's underneath it. He gets it up and over the linebacker. Now the tight end has to go up and jump for it and catch it over his head, but it hits him in the hands. Should have been caught, in my opinion. It ricochets off of his hands, goes past him, and right to the safety who ends up making the pick. It's maybe a slight force, but to me, how I would grade this is it was a catchable pass, and the tight end is the one that was more responsible for the interception. Would have been a bit of a tough catch for the tight end, but nothing that you would consider like impossible or that he shouldn't come down with it. That to me was a pretty clear drop. And that was the only place where Willis could have placed that ball to give his tight end a chance, because he had to get it up and over the linebacker. And he did. He got it to him. Tight end made the jumping play. It just went off his hands and ended in the interception. So wouldn't put a ton of blame on that pick for Willis. He was also 2 of 2 on passes over 20 yards for 58 yards total. He had 11 rushing attempts for 101 yards. He had 4 runs of over 10 yards, and he was 5 of 6 for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns against the blitz. Kudos to Zach Cruz and Zach Jacobson for putting those numbers together and posting them out on Twitter. Per PFF, he dropped back 36 times. He was pressured on 13 of those dropbacks. He was sacked 5 times, so it's still a very high amount. 5 sacks and only 36 dropbacks. That's something he's going to have to clean up. He only scrambled 4 times, so it wasn't something that he was looking to scramble at all times. I think that's a better number for him. And that time to throw went from 3.53 seconds to 3.07 seconds. So he cut down almost a half a second on his time to throw. Now, it's still a little bit on the higher end. You'd like that to be around 2.75 or even lower, but he did make a significant improvement in getting rid of the ball quicker and making sure that hopefully he's not taking as many hits and as many sacks as he kind of evolves as a passer and gets a little bit more comfortable in the pocket. His PFF grade in preseason was a 78.0. Now, here's what I noticed on tape. The first thing, going back to college and what you've seen already, and especially this preseason, go watch the Saints highlights for Malik Willis just from a couple days ago, basically. The upside is there. There is a lot to like about his game. He is incredibly athletic, extremely fast, is very dynamic with the ball in his hands. His arm is very live. He can hit all layers of the field, meaning from an arm talent standpoint. He can absolutely sling it, and he makes some really impressive throws. There's a throw where he is thrown to his left side, probably 30-some yards downfield, and just hits his receiver, like basically threw open his wide receiver. Receiver's not open. He threw him open, and the receiver makes the catch right along the sidelines. Just a beautiful rainbow throw. There's a pass deep down the right sideline where he hits his receiver in stride right down the right sideline for a touchdown. There's another play where there's in this past game, it's like a minute and a half left, 4th and 1, and he's looking for the slant on his left. And I think just based on instinct, he was going to take off running. But I think at the last second saw that the wide receiver got himself open and just ripped it tight hole, tight window, I should say. And gets it on that slant, ends up being a touchdown for the game winner there. Just some really, really impressive stuff. The upside is very evident. You don't have to watch much to say, all right, yeah, this is a very talented QB. But he is still very much a work in progress. There are times where guys are just wide open and he just flat misses it. So that's going to be something that he has to improve. His fundamentals and his technique need a lot of work. When he throws with a wide base, gets that arm action going, it looks really good, but his footwork gets wonky at times and he's just going to have to be a lot more consistent with it. And that's where some of the accuracy issues will come with. But he does, again, he did go this past offseason, 20 of 27 in preseason. And there's, again, the drop on the interception could have been 21 of 27, probably 230 yards with 2 touchdowns and no picks. It could have even been better. And again, he's rushing for over 100 yards on 11 attempts. Like, there's a lot to like here. But it is an interesting fit with Matt LaFleur in a couple of different ways. Number one, if you talk about running some RPO stuff, having the athletic ability and hitting throws down the field and hitting throws up the seams, there's a lot of stuff that you can do with Malik Willis in this offense. On the other side, this is also an offense that you would ideally like to have a lot of rhythm and timing. And I don't know that he's quite there yet. The timing, the time to throw, he's going to hold on to it a little bit too long. This is an offense where you kind of want to get the ball out of your hand. And then as far as the accuracy of everything, of course, I mean, that goes with any offense, but this is a rhythm, timing, and accuracy style offense. And now Matt is not afraid to take shots. He's not afraid to run RPOs. And Malik is going to bring a different flavor of quarterback to the table. And I'll just be totally clear. I don't mind that whatsoever. I think sometimes having that running ability as a number two quarterback, it just gives you a little bit of that extra something where if you game plan for Jordan Love going into a game and then you get Malik Willis, that is a totally different experience. And you obviously you'd rather go against Malik Willis than Jordan Love. It's not like they're going to be like, oh my goodness, we got to go against Malik Willis. No, they're going to be probably happy that Jordan Love's not in there. But now you have a totally different QB that has the ability to really beat you with his legs and a head coach that I don't think is going to be hesitant to utilize that skill set if needed. I do wonder how much Matt, it's not going to take Matt long to get a playbook in for Malik Willis that will help him, but I don't think it's an apples to apples offense. And that's always one of the interesting dynamics of a backup quarterback. Would you like a guy who's basically just like Jordan, so you can keep the offense exactly the same, and Malik comes in and just runs Jordan's offense the way that Jordan was running it, albeit likely to a much lesser extent, but at least you don't have to change the offense for everyone else? Or do you want a guy that can bring some dynamic playmaking to the table? You might have to change the offense up a little bit, but now you're dealing with a backup, but at least you've got a guy who can be a playmaker with his legs. That's a different beast. That's something different that you can go to and give you a leg up, even if the passing offense is going to be a little bit different with Malik at QB. And there are some things that definitely translate that he can do in this offense that I think he can do very well. Let me just say one more time. If it clicks, if he does settle down, and if this preseason was a sign of what is to come, Green Bay will have gotten an absolute steal in the 7th round. And this is the ultimate buy low. There were times in that draft class where Malik Heath was considered a early first round pick. Dane Brugler had him as a first to second rounder and I think the 32nd overall player in his draft class. And he ended up going round 3. But even if he's a third round pick, whatever it is, this is a complete buy low, low risk, high reward type of play. If he doesn't turn out, you know, I don't think that they lost anything by going with Malik Willis over Sean Clifford. Now, whether or not they keep Michael Pratt, you know, and I don't think Michael Pratt, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm going to still put Michael Pratt on the 53. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but could they release him? Could he get claimed? Maybe. I don't know. You have to remember he was a late 7th round pick. Nobody drafted him. And if Green Bay, right? Let's just think through this for a second. If Green Bay, who is unbelievable, you know, at developing quarterbacks and has Tom Clements as their QB coach, if he gets to Green Bay as a late 7th and Green Bay says, now we're good, are other teams going to want to claim him? If Green Bay says, now give me Malik Willis instead, are other teams going to want to claim him? Even if they were liking some of the stuff that they saw, that will be a bit of a red flag. That the Packers, with no apparent backup quarterback and a player that they drafted when Goody does not give up on draft picks, if they said, now we're good, if anyone wants him, they can claim him, we're going to be fine. I think other teams almost look at that and be like, yeah, we're not going to claim that guy. He didn't even make it in Green Bay, who is known for developing these guys and will not usually release draft picks. And nobody, again, that's after nobody wanted him through almost the entirety of the draft to begin with. He was this close to being a UDFA. So if he makes it, if he does in fact get cut, other teams will look at that and say, yeah, we passed on him in the draft. Green Bay didn't keep him. They didn't want to develop him. Are we really going to claim him and put him on our 53? I think there's probably a chance that you get him back on the practice squad. But this is all a very interesting scenario for how Green Bay wants to view this. And if they do release Michael Pratt and he gets claimed, I don't think that there is, again, a massive risk here. I think it's a bit of a bummer, of course, and hopefully you get him back on the practice squad. But they clearly thought that Malik Willis had the higher upside. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I really don't. I think Malik Willis is a more talented overall player. I think Pratt might be able to be a longer-term, better, you know, maybe developmental pocket passer. But it's interesting. And Malik Willis does, in fact, have a little bit more of that experience. And it was very clear that Matt LaFleur was not happy with his backup quarterback situation. And the play where Sean Clifford had the interception, I mean, Matt LaFleur talked about, and this was, I think, the first preseason game, Matt LaFleur talked about it after and was basically like, yeah, when we get premium looks, we have to take advantage of it. This was a watered-down version of Matt basically saying, hey, if I'm going to draw up a perfect play for you against the perfect coverage and you're going to have a wide open wide receiver, and not only are you not going to, convert it, but you're going to throw a pick on it, we're going to have some problems. And you could tell just as the kind of heck, from when we first asked him about Michael Pratt, he was like, yeah, he's drinking, water through a fire hose. And when Adam Stenovich was asked about Pratt, he basically had this long pause of how do I want to talk about him? And it was very clear, he has a long way to go to learn the playbook. So I like Michael Pratt, still putting him on my 53. I might end up eating those words, but I can understand why Green Bay wanted to go in another direction. And I can understand why they may have thought that Malik Willis had the higher upside overall, because they're probably right. So the other things that I want to go over here is, if nothing else, and I tweeted this out, the Packers have two running quarterbacks in their first 2 weeks, Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson. Having Malik Willis on the roster will be a really nice addition to the scout team to begin with as they get ready for those two QBs. Now, they're going to have to give him a crash course on the Packers offense. So it's not like he can just run scout stuff. He's also going to have to learn this offense and be ready to be the backup quarterback should Green Bay need him. But he will provide a very unique look for this Packers defense to get ready for both Anthony Richardson and Jalen Hurts. So that is a very nice aspect of this. And then let me just kind of give you my overall reaction to this trade. And I know I've kind of been going through some of it already, but just speaking candidly, this is an interesting move if I'm kind of looking at it in a roundabout way. I do kind of still see Willis as more of the developmental type. And again, I kind of feel like they have one of those in Michael Pratt on the roster. And I just said, I think Willis is maybe the better developmental of the two, but I'm not sure it's by a ton. So it is interesting to me that they went out and got a player that's a little bit more on the developmental side than on the, hey, he's completely a good backup at this point side. Now, here's what I would say overall. We've talked about this a lot. If you lose Jordan for an extended period, you're just screwed. You're just beyond screwed. The season's done. Malik Willis isn't going to save it. Ryan Tannehill's not going to save it. Taylor Heineke's not going to save it. Michael Pratt's not going to save it. It's just going to be done. And in that case, you go with a quarterback who has upside and you see if you can develop him through the remainder of the season. And Malik Willis certainly fits that description. So I get that entirely. But in a 4-6 game stretch, which we've talked about, can he go 2-2? Can he go 3-3? I'm not sure. There's two things that are clear to me here, though. Number one, Brian Gutekunst clearly felt some way about Malik Willis, probably in 2022 as a draftable quarterback, and felt like there was something there worth developing, and that a 7th-round pick was more than fair compensation to go get him, bring him to Green Bay, and see if they can develop him in some way. And I completely understand that side of it, get it, and I don't mind it in any way, shape, or form. So that side of it makes total sense to me. And then the question becomes, and I think the conversation that you have with Matt at this point is, hey, this guy's probably a little bit more on the developmental side, but he's probably also further along than Michael Pratt, and he's just better than Sean Clifford. It's probably not the exact solution that you're looking for at backup QB, but do you think that you can build an offense for this unique playmaker that if Jordan Love goes down for 4-6 weeks, that you can go 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, whatever it might be, and build something in the meantime, well, over the next couple of years, we develop him and see what he can become. And if Matt says, yeah, I think I can. I think I can create an offense that makes sense for him. I think we can utilize him. I think he's an upgrade over Pratt. I think he's an upgrade over Clifford. And I think we can win some games with him in the situation where Jordan's out for 4-6. Then I think you say, all right, let's do the deal. And I can see a world in which all of that makes sense, where Goody gets a developmental guy, Matt gets somebody he feels like he can win with right now, at least at a decent level. And like I said, if you go out for 10 to 16 weeks or whatever it is for Jordan, your season's done anyway. So you're not game planning for that specific situation. You're game planning for the short-term injury. And I do think there's a chance that Malik Willis can be the guy that fills in, is, you know, Matt gets creative with it. They lean on the defense. They lean on Josh Jacobs, and they go 2-2 in a 4-game stretch, or 3-3 in a 6-game stretch. So from that standpoint, it all makes sense. Does a little part of me wonder if, like, hey, you sure you just didn't want to go get a Taylor Heinicke? Are you sure you just didn't want to go get somebody maybe with a little bit more experience? I feel that a little bit, because I do think, like, Heinicke is just like a perfect example, right? Of just go with Love, Heinicke, and Pratt. You have your core starter, your backup that can go in and really be that, you know, bridge quarterback for those 4 to 6 weeks. And then you've got the developmental guy in Michael Pratt. Like, to me, that makes perfect sense. Willis is a little bit more, maybe too close to Michael Pratt for it to make total sense. But again, if you really look at it, I think you can understand where you get the developmental upside and you get a quarterback that Matt probably feels like is at least better than what they had. And that maybe is just a win all the way around. And hopefully Tom Clements and Matt LaFleur and everyone can develop him. He gets some time to sit behind Jordan Love, and he's still very young. And maybe you end up with a really talented QB that can be a legitimately good backup, and you got him for next to nothing. And like I said, buy low, high reward, very minimal risk. There's a lot to like about that aspect of it. Now, as far as how this is going to affect the rest of the 53-man roster, as Bill Huber reported, it means that Sean Clifford, per his report, is going to get released. Michael Pratt, less aware. As I mentioned earlier, I still have Michael Pratt on my 53. I still think there's enough upside there where you keep it, you try to develop it, and you see if he can just be the true developmental number 3 with Malik Willis being the number 2 in the meantime. Now, I mentioned a Rob Domofsky report on his 53. He mentioned that the expectation is that Marshawn Lloyd is going to go on IR designated to return. If that's the case, I still think Dylan might end up on IR designated to return, which means you only have 2 of those spots. So I have Lloyd and Dylan going on IR designated to return. I took Tyler Davis, who I had on IR designated to return, and just basically put him on IR, meaning he cannot return. I would have just said release him, but when you're injured, you have to put him on IR first and then figure out the injury settlement. So he just goes to IR, and you only keep 2 running backs on the roster. And I think they you know, will call up a third. You know, they might have to put 2 running backs on the practice squad, you know, and maybe find one off of another team that, you know, you can offer, like, hey, you're going to get time and pulled up to the 53 for these first 4 weeks if you come sign with Green Bay. But, you know, maybe Ellis Merriweather gets the first couple weeks, and then whatever guy you claim or, you know, add to the practice squad from another team gets a couple weeks to be the number 3 up until Lloyd or Dylan are able to return. I don't feel super confident with this. And this, like I said the other day, the running back position is so hard because I have no idea what they're going to do with Dylan or Lloyd simply because of the injury issues. And we just don't know how severe they are. But I'm going to say only 2 running backs on the active 53 for the first 4 weeks until Dylan or Lloyd are ready to come back. And then they will call up a player from the practice squad for those first 4 weeks so that they still have a third running back on the roster. So that is my changes to the 53-man roster based on how the Malik Willis trade affects it overall. Malik Willis on, Marshawn Lloyd off, Marshawn Lloyd to IR designated to return, Tyler Davis from IR designated to return to basically just off the roster slash on injured reserve for the season. All right, lots to go over. I'm in the middle overall on this trade. I don't love it. I don't certainly dislike it. I understand it. It's only a seventh round pick. It's not the end of the world one way or the other. I do think it is a, like, if you had to go out and win a game tomorrow, assuming they, like, Willis can come in and learn the playbook to some extent, I would go with Willis first and then Pratt and then Clifford. So I do think they have a guy that is more likely to win you a game. I just don't know it's by a ton, but I do like his upside and hope that they can bring that out and that Tom Clements can get the best of Malik Willis. And he should have a fair shake and he should have a real opportunity to grow under Jordan Love. So it should be interesting. I'm excited to see what he can do. And of course, Tuesday, we have a full day of cutdowns. Should be a really interesting day. We'll see if they make any other trades, any other claims on Wednesday. These next 2 days are really going to shape this roster. It'll all come together, and we'll, of course, cover it every step of the way right here on the Pack-A-Day podcast. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State and Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Hwang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, and Love and Football. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.